Welcome into another daily editorial here on the KE Report. This is a special daily editorial because we are getting an update from Maple Gold Mines, otherwise known as, or what used to be known as, Orvista Gold. We have been following this company, and I am a shareholder of this company for a number of months now, but there has been a lot of news that has come out since our last interview, including this name change, and that's what we're going to talk about in this segment. I am joined by the president and CEO of Maple Gold, Matthew Orner. And Matthew, I have to say, the news that has come out over the last few months is, there's a lot of it. There's the name change, which again is Maple Gold Mines. The new trading symbol on the Venture Exchange is MGM, and on the OTCQB is MGMLF. There are also warrants trading under the symbol MGM.WT. We'll talk about those. Plus, there's whole new management, whole new board of directors, and a new exploration program. Can we start off, please, with the name change? Why bother change the name of the company?
Well, first of all, thank you, Cord, for having me on again. I think it's been a few months since we last spoke. I did some arm waving and gave you some promises about what I would be doing or trying to accomplish in the months ahead. I think the last time we spoke was over the summer, maybe July. And at that time, the going forward plan was to bring all the best people we could to the story and go out after the exploration program with the most qualified individuals to bring the best, most value to our shareholders. To answer your question, the reason why we changed the name is to really highlight the fact that the company is brand new. It is not the old company. This is a brand new company. The name represents the change of essentially all the key personnel at the board and management level. And we thought that Maple Gold Mines tells the story of what we're doing and where we're doing it.
So a lot of these changes to management and at the board level, in my understanding, has been to move the company almost into a different echelon. Rather than a small exploration company, you really have some large goals that almost align with some of the bigger exploration companies. Can you share the mentality and maybe some of the changes as to why this whole new management is in place?
Sure. I come from the Ivanhoe Mines world. And if you look at the board of directors, you'll see a lot of the directors who with whom I've worked in the past. Some of the key people I think we should talk about are the new head of the technical committee and director, Dr. David Broughton. Dr. David Broughton was the Thayer Lindsay Award winning exploration geologist for the Kamoa project in the DRC in 2015. I think he deserves one for the Kakula project that's held by Ivanhoe Mines as well, which is next to that, and maybe Platte Reef in South Africa. He's, I think, maybe one of the most famous and successful exploration geos anywhere, and I'm lucky to have him as my partner on this deal. As he oversits as the chair of the technical committee, he oversees and is the sounding board for Fred Spiedel, another key hire. He's Fred Spiedel, hails from Antofagasta at First Quantum, had worked there for 30 years, I think, total at both companies. He's from Quebec originally. It's hard to find multilingual exploration geologists from Quebec who have that kind of a track record. And Fred, I couldn't be more thrilled to have Fred running the exploration program and executing on our grander vision of creating the next big Canadian gold story. So if you look at the directors also and who the new chairman is, Jay Chmielowskis. Jay has an incredible background with Ivanhoe, where he and I worked in the past. He was CEO of Jinchan Gold Mines. Pierre Labelle, who's chair of Imperial Metals, he's also on our board and chair of the audit committee. They worked on Jinchan's gold project in China that was ultimately purchased by China Gold. So that's why his credentials as a mine builder, gold mine builder specifically, made sense for him to be chair of the company.
Okay, so again, this whole plan of becoming a much more prolific player in the area. One thing that I have to say is I've liked this project that Maple Gold has had for a while now. It's the Douay Gold Project. It's gold, copper, zinc. There is already an inferred resource of 2.8 million ounces at 1.05 grams per ton. What are the plans moving forward now with this whole new management team and taking almost a new look at how to expand and grow this resource?
Yeah, David and Fred went to site in August and looked at the plans that were in place for the summer drill program. And what I asked them to do was to put a real critical eye to what was the original plan and come back to me and let me know if that was a good plan, if the drill targets made sense, or if we needed to look elsewhere. We put the summer program on hold and took a real step back to look at the greater picture and to see what we have on our 370 square kilometers of ground there. And what they've come back with is quite exciting. We now have 55 kilometers of strike. 50% of the funds we have already raised will go towards expanding the what we refer to as the resource or brownfields area. The holes that we drilled earlier this year, the 24,000 meters, ended in mineralization. So it's fun hunting there for more ounces when you know that it's likely that more exists right around the areas where you've been drilling so far. But nothing excites the market more than finding bigger targets outside of the known resource area. We have so much ground to cover. We're on the strike, the Casa Berti deformation zone. The south and north splays there present us with a quite incredible opportunity to follow along that fault and do some outside the known resource area drilling. We've also discovered in the northeast zone an area that represents same geology to the existing resource area. That's 6 kilometers by 1 kilometers of strike, which could lead to much more interesting things going forward. I mean, that's essentially the same area that our 2.8 million ounces are in today. It's the same, very similar, if not the same, host rock. So we'll be putting 8 holes in there. That's just a kilometer from the known resource area. So that alone could be a complete game changer for us if what we find there is what Dave and Fred expect.
So, Matthew, with how big this property is, about 370 square kilometers, as you mentioned, 55 kilometers of strike, plus potential to even grow on that, how are you going about isolating some of these new drill targets to at least still somewhat keep a focus on this massive project?
Well, you have to have a measured approach to this and look at what is going to move the project forward as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And what Fred and Dave have come up with is to identify these higher grade clusters in the known resource area, connect the dots there, and bring forward what hopefully will be a project that can get underway relatively quickly in the existing ground. We're identifying outside of the resource area, the methods we've used there had not been used in the past. Geochemical analysis had not been readily done on the site outside the known resource area at all because there is some cover. One way to tackle that problem is with some RC drilling, where you essentially create outcrop by drilling down to the bedrock and pulling up some very shallow bits of ground and then running geochemical analysis over that. And then in doing so, you're able to create more of a geologic model and better predict where you expect to find holes that are have higher grade in them. So I think those two things together is kind of our general approach. A lot of this is found in the press release that went out day before yesterday.
And that's something that I do want to touch on, is this press release. It provided an exploration update prior to the winter drilling campaign, which, hey, that's one thing that is unique too, is that you guys are able to continue drilling over the winter. But there was this one aspect that talked about how you have relogged more than 5,000 meters of drill core and also taken some XRF data from around 46,000 core samples, which resulted in, as it's bolded here, a significant breakthrough. This is all what I think you could consider fairly cost-efficient work because these holes were already drilled and these core samples were already taken. How has this almost changed the goals or the plans for this winter drill program?
Well, this goes back to the new thinking that was brought into this project and why it's so key to have individuals with the track record of discovering massive deposits as a part of the team. And Dave and Fred bring that expertise to this project. And, you know, what they did essentially was to look at the relogging, understand the analysis from that relogging, apply it in with a reimagined view to the broader picture, which has resulted in us finding this other area I mentioned a second ago, this northeast syenite target area, which is 6 kilometers by 1 kilometers. And that is that's quite exceptional. It's quite exceptional to have that kind of a breakthrough, you know, just by taking a step back, looking at the 250,000 meters of drill core that we have on site. And that's an incredible bank of information that is, you know, gives us a massive head start. I mean, it gave us, first of all, the 2.8 million ounces that we have today. And on top of that, you can extrapolate from that core all sorts of other interesting things. And that's just one example of what came from that work.
Yeah, there's multiple benefits that can be drawn from already having this stuff out of the ground and able for you to reassess, really. And I do like the program that you have taken by taking a step back and looking at the project again from a higher level, coming up with, well, the go-forward plans. Now let's talk about shares and cash in the bank. First of all, shares, as I said, whole new share structure, but you also have these warrants trading. What was the mentality around that, and how do you think that benefits shareholders?
Well, we have these 40-cent warrants that are expiring in 4.5 years. Those are free trading, and what that does for our shareholders is gives them an ability to play with two different securities in our story. Oftentimes with issuances of stock for junior mining stories, you have a unit which has a warrant associated with it. And sometimes what happens is that people hold on to the warrant and they sell the stock. By having a freely tradable warrant, people don't have that pressure or reason to move off their share position because they can trade the warrants and have some fun, you know, on that side. And that was kind of the mentality here. We've had other examples of this happening and the share price moving up nicely. And sometimes the warrant actually could ultimately trade higher than the share price, you know, depending on how the market moves. So it was an effort to create warrants, give the shareholders another class of securities, but also something that wouldn't have a kind of an overhang element to it on the share price or the market moving forward.
Okay, so some short-term drivers for the stock here is the drilling that will be going on next year. Drilling bids have been put in for 25 to 30,000 meters. We'll touch a bit more on that as we continue our discussions later on, probably into next month. But what I want to ask you is, what kind of cash do you have in the bank, and what do you think the run room is, considering, again, a fairly large drill program that you have planned?
Well, we raised, if you remember, back in June, just over $10 million. $6 million of that was flow-through financing, which will be used in the next program. That pays for essentially all 30,000 meters. And running a project in Quebec, Canada, is kind of a dream job for any CEO because of that, the tax-effective financing that's available for your work. I think the going-forward plans, I mean, I can say, without giving away too much, we had just a site visit by three of the largest Canadian institutions and their analysts to site. I would expect in the next few weeks we'll have some coverage initiated by at least one, if not all three of them, which I think will be a game changer for our story. The Ora Vista Gold never had any such coverage or following by anybody. And then getting to the new year, as we get the drills turning, I think there'll be a renewed interest in everything. And you know, I'm looking to do any kind of additional capital raise would happen down the road next year, middle of the year or later, but definitely not these prices at much higher prices.
Okay, so below this interview, I will be posting some more links to the company website, one of which will go to the management webpage where you can read the bios of the whole new management team that's in place. And I'll also post some links to the presentation and the recent news releases. I recommend everybody taking some time getting more up to date on this company because of the changes that have happened. And if you have any questions, be sure to send those over to me either through our blog or at my email, fleck@kereport.com. And I will follow up with Matthew and his team now that they have a better idea of what exploration is going to be going on. on, we will be getting some pretty regular updates from this company again, because, well, A, I hold shares, they are a sponsor on this website, and it's a company that I really think deserves your attention. And Matthew, thank you for your time today, and I appreciate the update.
It's always a pleasure, Corey. Thanks for your time.